ladies and gentlemen.
Columbia.
You're listening to Pacific Town Sound Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. I'm James Olson.
And I'm Travis Noel.
Thank you for joining us this sunny-ish Easter Sunday, and we hope you've been enjoying your holiday-long weekend. For those of you who have been following the show for at least the last 8 months, Pacific Sound Radio has held the Snug Concert Series at the Persephone Snug Brewery here in the Save on Meats Complex since August 2018. We've had the honor of featuring a number of incredible artists, including The Long War, Blue Jay, Haley Blaze, Sleepy Gonzalez, and many others. And it is with a heavy heart to announce that we will be ending the Snug Concert Series with our last show planned for next Sunday, April 28th, as the Persephone Snug will be ceasing operations at the end of this month. We at Pacific Sound Radio would like to thank all of the bands and artists who performed and all of the family, friends, and local music fans who came out to support the Snug Concert Series. We'd especially like to thank Persephone Snug operator Henry Sanderson, the Snug staff, Monica Miller, Ronnie Mae Baker, and everyone else who helped make the Snug Concert Series possible. On a happier note, our featured guest for this week is singer-songwriter and music industry professional Rain, also known as Rachel Schroeder, who will be chatting with us about her upcoming sophomore EP. And as a special Easter treat, in our second hour, we will be spinning Cushy Entertainment's official Glitter Ball playlist featuring artists performing at the inaugural festival May 4th to 5th at Creative Coworkers, including the likes of Tanya, Strange Breed, Una May, and next week's featured guest, Biawana. But before we get to all that, Travis has some news to share.
I got a lot of news, and it's a lot of really good news, and then like one not so good story, and then another good news story.
So it's a kind of a shitty sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the great bookends, though.
Mm. All right, that helps.
Yeah. First up, BC is renewing the $7.5 million music fund. Amplify BC is going to continue for the next year.
Hell yeah.
The fund focuses on four key areas: career development, live music, music company development, and music industry initiatives. It's really good to hear that they continued support for the local industry, because it's huge.
Have they released like a new deadline for that grant? Because I probably want to get in on that.
I'm not sure. I think it's probably similar to last year's with a couple different intakes.
Okay.
I think that's what they did.
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look into that if you want some free government money for your music stuff.
Here in BC.
Yes. And some not-so-good news for our Ontarian friends. When the Ontario government released their budget on April 11th, they announced that they are dropping the Ontario Music Fund budget from $15 million to $7. It's a big drop from the progressive conservatives who say they believe in the fund, but want to see it modernized. Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great way to like bring your like nonprofit business thing better.
Is by cutting funding. Yeah. I mean, I'm not exactly surprised. That's what conservatives like to do, is cut funding. So
yeah, and it's like less money than BC has for like three times the population.
Yeah,
where like a lot of the music in Canada happens.
Mm-hmm.
So good for us, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, bad for them, and that sucks.
Bad for Canada, and yada yada.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back to some good news. Said the Whale is doing something pretty cool. They recently announced a tour of high schools in the greater Vancouver area, all in support of young artists and music programs. They have a fundraising goal of $10,000 or $1,000 per school, and it's a really cool thing. If you're interested in donating to that, check out the band's page on GoFundMe.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember... I have no idea who the artists were, but there was a band that played at my high school when I was in, like, grade 9, when I was still at Tamanawis. I thought they were kind of cool.
Were they a grade 12 band?
I don't know. I literally have no memory about, like, who they were or what their music was. But they were, like, some touring band or something like that.
That's pretty cool.
But, yeah, I mean, Said the Whale hopefully will be some sort of source of inspiration to some teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because they need to be excited about something, right?
Yeah. And that's the news.
All right. So this first song on the show is the latest single by art punk quartet Dumb. Really digging the dance beat and angular guitar work on this number. This is Club Nights. And we're back. That was Club Nights by Dumb. And our featured guest on today's episode is Rain. Rain is the stage name of singer-songwriter Rachel Schroeder, who has been involved in the music industry here in Vancouver, from a very young age. Rachel has received mentorship from the likes of vocal coach Brian Farrell and producer Winston Housechild. She's an alumni of the Nimbus School of Recording and Media and is on the cusp of releasing her long-awaited sophomore EP, Organized Frequencies. Take a listen to the latest single by Rain, which includes a production engineering credit by Rachel herself. This is Fast Cars. You're rich and free. Life is only candy. No sense of time. We were free of worries. You had everything. But by this spring I saw nothing. New and confused. But this was freedom. But I still miss the warm summer breeze flowing through our hair. My memories are so crystal clear. Fast cars driving by, fast cars driving by, fast cars driving by, fast cars driving by. Honest and true, but the heart was missing. It all felt so right, I thought this was heaven. Dark in the walls, hide to get up, you still cold. Just let me be. This is happiness, but I still miss the warm summer breeze blowing through our hair. And we're back. You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Fast Cars by Rain, who's just joined us in the studio. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Nice having some days off, an extra day off for the long weekend.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're in music, you never really take a day off. You kind of just keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly. No, just an extra day off from the day job.
Yeah.
Kind of nice. So you started your music career at 14. Do you come from a musical family?
There's some musicians in my family. My parents aren't, but they listened to great music growing up and have always been super supportive.
What was some of the music that you grew up around?
Ella Fitzgerald, Queen, ELO, just great vocals, yeah.
And kind of speaking to that, who are some of the bands and artists that inspire you and how have they shaped your approach to music?
Definitely those bands I grew up listening to. A huge one is Imogen Heap. She's an incredible producer in engineering. She kind of inspired me to get into that part of music as well. I love her.
Sorry, my brain just completely fizzled out on me. Just like, yeah, restart.
Yeah.
Blue screen to death. Anyhow, early on in your career, you worked closely with a handful of industry professionals, including vocal coach Brian Farrell and producer Winston Housechild. What was it like working with them?
It was amazing working with them. I started working with Brian when I was 9 for vocal lessons, and he also mentored me a lot with my songwriting when I started writing around then. And then when I was 14, Winston produced my EP, and it was such an amazing experience. He helped me with my songwriting so much, and it was my, it really sparked my interest in engineering and production, because I saw, the soundboard, and I was like, I want to know what all those buttons do, and...
I have to say, doing research for this interview, it was interesting scrolling all the way back through your Facebook.
No.
It was like a time machine.
Oh, no. I should clean that up. Yeah, I think there's some stuff from when I was 11 there.
Did you do your own copy, or was that a family member who helped you with that?
I don't know. That's such a long time ago. I think my dad helped me a ton with getting... my website up and social media and even helping register my songs to SoCam when I started writing songs. So, yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that, well, I mean, you can do that with anyone's Facebook, but just the amount of stuff that people share.
Yeah, it's always interesting getting those memories on Facebook. You're like, oh, that was cool.
Oh, I kind of hate those because it reminds me of how long ago college was. I'm like, aw, I miss college. Not fair. What were some of the biggest takeaways for you from your experience working with the likes of Brian and Winston?
Wow, so much. They helped me focus so much on just the emotion of a song and really making sure you just get that across. That was like the biggest thing for me.
And how did they each kind of teach you how to do that?
I would say, man, like, this is like a trip down memory lane. This is awesome. With Brian, like, I would, once a week, I would go and, like, show him my songs and what I've been working on. And then he would say something like, all right, now this time, imagine you're taking, like, just like a sheet and just, like, just placing it down gently on the ground. And then the performance would be completely different. Like, it was amazing. He's an excellent, excellent mentor. And then, with Winston, that was my first time, being fully produced with a band. So kind of, it was a great learning experience, just understanding how the studio works and the process of recording a song.
And kind of on that, I mean, with Winston, you worked together and you wound up releasing your debut EP, Warrior Paint, while you were still in high school. How would you say you have evolved as a songwriter and as a performer since your debut release?
So much. wow, yeah, that was 7 years ago now. That's crazy. Since then, I feel like I've grown more confident in my music and as a person. I've worked a lot more on my vocals as well with an amazing Vancouver vocal coach, Carolyn Quinn. I went to Nimbus and studied production and engineering and business. It's so much.
Just a lot.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, obviously you released your debut EP while you're still in high school. Kind of hard to gig when you've got school the next day, obviously. what was your first like foray into the Vancouver music scene? How'd you really start getting involved in what's going on here a little bit more heavily?
Oh, wow. Honestly, starting at Nimbus, that was like a great way just to network with other people who are passionate about music. I started playing some shows when I was 18, but it's always really difficult playing shows and networking when you're under 19 here. And then I've been working in the industry as well. I worked at a railway for a year. That was a wonderful way to meet people. Now I work for the live agency. I help out with Locals Lounge. So just kind of immersing myself in the live scene helped a lot.
What do you like about the music scene here, and where do you think there are areas for improvement?
I love how any night you can go out and there's going to be a show going on. I would say, like, ways to improve. I would say, just going out to more shows of people that you don't know and just learning more about your local music scene.
Definitely. Sorry, I'm also blanking out here. I don't know what's up. I might be tired.
That's a long weekend.
Yeah, something like that. I had a question. I'm trying to think of what it was. Nope, I lost it. We'd love to hear a live song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get my guitar out. This first one I'm going to be seeing for you guys is You Just Let Me Fall. It was my first single.
It's a good song.
Yeah. What was that, Travis?
It's a good song.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it.
I had a lot of fun. That was, like, a great song just to figure out, like, my production style and just, yeah. Thank you. That was super fun to make. All right. Yeah, kind of back up a bit here.
All right. Tuning or ready to go?
It's ready to go.
All right. Let's...
All right. So this is Rain live on Pacific Sound Radio with You Just Let Me Fall.
It started out so relaxing. I felt at ease. And this felt so right. No worries, just carefree. But as time goes on, the foundations crack and scream. I don't have time for this. If you don't put the heart in, and you don't get to spin me around and let me fall from the dizziness, but I still miss you. When you don't come, or you let me fall. Yeah, you just let me fall. You let me fall. I want a ballet for this to work, I'm pretty sure. Sometimes it feels like I have it wrapped around my pinky finger. But most of the time, I'm your distant dream. So far away, but this is your life. And you don't care to spin me around and let me fall from the dizziness. But I still miss you. When you don't come, you let me fall. Yeah, you just let me fall. I don't wanna fall if you're not gonna catch me. If you're not gonna catch me, will you spin me round and round and round? You spin me round and round, you spin me, yeah, round and round. You don't get to see the right things make a go away. You don't get to see the right things make a go away. And you don't get to spin me.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Rain with a live rendition of You Just Let Me Fall.
Yeah.
I get that right?
Yeah,
I nailed it. Yeah. All right. And you'd mentioned this earlier in the program, but you studied a wide range of subjects at the Nimbus School of Recording and Media. What were some of the skills that you honed during your time there, and how they assisted you as an independent artist?
So right out of high school, I was initially just going for production and engineering. I did 12 months of that. That was such a great experience. It helped me figure out my sound and get way more control over my sound, too, because instead of being like, I want it to sound more sparkly, it's just like, no, just like add some reverb, add this delay, and it's... And then I decided to take 8 months of business there as well. It's always good to know how to not get screwed over in this industry. But yeah, that opened up my world so much, just like with marketing and just all these different revenue streams, and that it's like it's possible to like do like live your life as an artist. And then after that, I did my last semester was artist development, which kind of tied everything together for me. It's taught by Dave Genn, and he helps a lot with just songwriting, and it also helped us a lot with just like our branding. Yeah, it's helped me so much.
And kind of tying into, you know, marketing and presentation and stuff like that, up until very recently, you've performed and released music under your birth name, Rachel Schroeder. What made you decide to adopt an alias as Rain?
Yeah, well, people don't really know how to spell Rachel Schroeder. My name is spelled differently. Sometimes people thought it was, like, Rachelle Schroeder. And I just wanted a name that really embody who I am on stage and in my music. I decided to basically name myself as though I'm like a character on stage. So I found the French word for queen, which is spelled R-A-I-N-E, and then I just kind of switched it up a bit to R-A-E-N-E, so it's a nice little powerful one-syllable name.
Well, it's also Rain, you know. Befitting, I suppose,
yeah,
of a
Vancouver,
West Coast
yeah.
artist. Yeah, I've always thought about that. If I was ever to put out music as a solo artist, I wouldn't be James Olsen. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of James out there.
Yeah,
songwriters.
not that many. I mean, you know, there's James Blake, and I know there's a few other Jameses, but like the most well known Jameses in music don't really go by that name. I mean, there's Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Page, and
totally,
yeah. But yeah, I totally feel you there about aliases. I feel it's a lot more interesting than just like, oh, it's my birth name.
Yeah, and it feels like, I don't know, ever since I've switched over to a stage name, it just feels like I can be even like more authentic in my art as well. It just feels right. It's just like an extension of who I am.
It's also a single word.
Yeah.
It's just something about like single word. Yeah. Or depending on, I don't know, if there's... ones like, I don't know, Frank Ocean or Father John Misty or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, generally if you're doing single word stage name, it just makes it punchier for posters and stuff like that.
Totally, yeah.
And kind of on that, how important is consistent branding for an artist like yourself? And what do you do to make yourself, like, stand out or at the very least distinct in terms of what you're putting out in social media and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, consistency is key. Personally, I have all my social media in black and white. I have like color synesthesia, so there's like enough colors going on in my head, so it's just calming just to have it all just black and white. But yeah, I would say like for any artist, like definitely just work on your social media, but make it authentic. Like you're not a sellout if you're promoting yourself. Just be authentic and be proud of what you're doing.
And kind of on that, I mean, would you say you have some sort of handle on who your audience is? Because I feel that's a factor that plenty of artists, especially developing artists, kind of stumble with. So I'm just curious if you've kind of figured that out.
Yeah, I'm still definitely figuring it out. It's always a work in progress, but yeah, slowly, I know more than I did 6 months ago.
Which is always a good sign. Have you been able to, like, do you handle all your social media? Like, do you track, like, insights and stuff like that?
Yeah, I have everything as, like, a business account. It's always handy and helpful to have data.
Yeah. Even if some of it's not as useful as you'd like it to be. Or if it's, like, oh, this tracked for some reason. I don't know why. With this group.
Yeah, no, it's like, you never know what will work. It's an awesome, constantly growing experiment.
Mm-hmm. You alluded to this, and I have a broader question about it. You're actually the second guest we've featured on the show who has synesthesia.
Ah, cool.
And ties into actually my next question, because it was, I can't remember her name for the life of me, and I feel bad, but the vocalist for Gentle Mind also has synesthesia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for listeners who aren't familiar with it, and I'll let you speak to it, what does this, I'll use the word condition, even though that sounds more dramatic than it should be. What does this condition entail, and how have you been able to utilize it when it comes to your creative activities?
Well, like with synesthesia, there's many different types of it. It's basically the crossing of two different senses. Like, for example, some people taste words, but the most common type, which I have, is color synesthesia. So whenever I hear music, I just like, I have, like, there's just colors for every sound and every layer. Even, like, names, numbers, days of the week have colors as well. And then when it comes to creating my music, for example, I don't like any... for most of my songs, I don't like any drum cymbals, because it's just... they're very yellow, and I just... that doesn't really suit most of my songs, so sometimes I just... I don't know, just take cymbals away from the drummer.
So, kind of on that, because I am curious, what colors make up the song Fast Cars, and what colors make up the song that I got the name of, and now I forgot. Yes, thank you.
Well, Fast Cars is very green, and it's like, I know, and then I, because I, like, when I am working in Pro Tools when I was recording it, like, I usually try to keep all the tracks just, like, black and white, but each layer has its own color in my mind. So, like, one of the synths is like this green. Some sounds are like pinks. And then for You Just Let Me Fall, it has like, yeah, some like pinks in it as well. It's definitely like a darker song. The last chorus is like very yellow and bright, and yeah.
Do you avoid certain colors because they don't like mesh together well in terms of like the actual color wheel?
No, I try, like, honestly, I try not to focus on it too much, or else I'll just go crazy and never get anything done. Mm-hmm. But I just try to, it's more like I just observe. I'm like, oh, that's cool, it's like that sounds blue, cool.
Out of curiosity, because you said certain words have certain color connotations. Yeah. What colors make up the phrase Pacific Sound Radio?
Pacific is pink. Sound is blue. Radio is like, it's a similar color to Pacific, but yeah, it's kind of like in that pink, orange range.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to come up with a new like color scheme. Yeah. This is why I asked him, like, all right, might as well pitch this out there. Because, like, currently right now our palette is just black and white because it's easy to work with. But we're looking at some new ideas in terms of, like, okay, we got to have our own color scheme, but it's got to be, like, I don't know. We're figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
You've released two singles as Rain over the last few months. Both of them were recorded in collaboration with Liam Moes.
Yes.
Moose,
yes.
Liam Moose, because his website's Moose Tracks. Liam's worked with a select number of Vancouver artists, including Gentle Mind and Stella Soul. How did you connect with Liam, and what is your working relationship like?
I met him at Nimbus. I feel like our production styles just, like, instantly clicked, because I always like to sample weird stuff and just, like, try to fit it into a song, and, like, sample, like, a wine glass, or sometimes I'll just text him being like, hey, can we, like, sample Smashing Plates? And he's like, totally. So, yeah.
Are some of those samples on the songs you've released? It must be subtle.
I'm just trying... Oh, probably one of the coolest things we did on You Just Let Me Fall, we took an Ebo. For those who don't know, it's basically this thing, it's for guitars. You put on the guitar string and just, like, vibrates the guitar string for you. It sounds really cool on electric guitars with pedals. So we decided to put it on a grand piano and just...
Ooh.
Yeah, and just, like, we were able to sample about, like, an octave and a half. And then we ended up getting all, like, putting all the chords together and then putting it through, like, some pedals and a Leslie speaker just to get that cool sound you hear in the beginning of You Just Let Me Fall.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know you could use an Epo on a piano. I thought it was you could only use it on a stringed instrument.
Well, we just stuck it on the strings. Piano strings.
Oh, yeah.
it's like a harp.
I forget about the guts of the piano.
Yeah, yeah.
I just forget that, like, oh, yeah, it's strings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not technically a string instrument, but yeah. No, that's cool. I always love hearing about bands doing weird stuff in the studio to get particular sounds. I think I spoke with the drummer from Spoon a few years ago, and he said on the song Whisper and I'll Listen to Hear It, there's like a bridge in the middle with a really weird sound, and they said that what they did was they found, like, a weird pedal, and their producer said, okay, find 16 of that same pedal. And so they played 16 of the same weird pedals simultaneously to get this, like, weird, like, whooshing sound in the middle of the song.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love hearing about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you do anything else like that, or is the Evo kind of the pinnacle of the in-studio experimenting?
I'm just trying to think. There's, like, it kind of all meshed together after a while. On one of the songs that's going to be on the EP, we sampled, like a wine glass, like when you, like, take your finger and just, like, make that ringing sound with it. And then I ended up just, like, tuning it on, like, Melodyne and just made it this fun little wine synth thing. It's very subtle because it could get very annoying after a while, but...
Yeah. Well, that's cool. You take a very hands-on approach to recording your music, especially the arrangement and the engineering. How would you describe your approach to recording?
It definitely depends on the song. I'm definitely a much stronger producer than engineer. Generally, I will just kind of start making when I was at Nimbus, I would just start making just, like, layers, and each time I'd book a session, I'd try to add another layer, like synths, or just try to get pianos and guitars, or just any weird thing. Just figuring it out, just putting as many layers as I can onto it, and then kind of taking away anything I don't need.
So building that up and then ripping it down.
Yeah, just, like, simplifying it, only using the parts that are absolutely necessary and suits the song.
What song would you say on the EP required the most, like, you know, stripping away in order to get to what's on the release?
I would say probably the biggest one was, there's a couple like that, but Fast Cars, since it's already released, people will be able to maybe tell. It sounded way different, like a year ago. I remember when the Lord album, her most recent one, came out, I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I get it. And then it kind of just helped me, like, go into Fast Cars and kind of gut it a bit and just leave room for the vocals and just kind of place stuff around the vocals as opposed to just, like, this constant wall of sound.
You're referring to her second album,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one with the Louvre?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, a really awesome album.
Yeah, it's certainly different from her first album, which I think caught a lot of people off guard, but...
That's the best, though, when artists do that. I want something new. I want to see you evolve.
Yeah. I mean, the example I use is... The stark contrast between Blonde by Frank Ocean and Channel Orange by Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
It's always nice when artists, like, avoid the safe route.
Totally, absolutely, yeah.
Where was I? Who have you been working with on your long-awaited second EP, Organized Frequencies?
So many people. Leah Moose, he's a huge part of this. Many of my classmates, Eva Smith, Eric Gray. Those were, like, definitely the major ones, yeah.
You mentioned kind of, I guess, perhaps related to this. You mentioned on your social media that you're a recovering perfectionist. What have you done to overcome these tendencies? And I do have to ask whether that contributed to almost Chinese democracy lengths of time between your first EP and your second.
Yeah, I've been working on this EP since I was 18. So I'm like 21 now. So it's been
not
like
that bad. Not Chinese
years.
Democracy bad, but
no, yeah, it's been 3 years of just, because I was also figuring out my sound as well, because my whole world opened up with like production and having more control over that and adding that to my creative process. So I think a lot of it was just figuring that out. But yeah, with like the whole recovering perfectionist thing, that is, it's still true, but I'm learning just to let it go. Like perfectionism and art don't mix. You kind of just have to learn when you're ready to abandon the art, because art is never done.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me, oddly enough, of something I read. I read Jeff Tweedy from Wilco's book, and the way he kind of described how he would songwrite is he would write a song, and then when he's done writing it, it isn't his anymore. It's whoever's listening to it and how they react to it, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel like as an artist, you just have to learn just to, like, when it's done, you just let it go. It's the world's now.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, how'd you come to realize that you had to, like, just stop working on a song at a certain point?
Each one is different, but, like, I don't know. Sometimes I'll just, like, play it for someone, and they're like, it's done. Sometimes you just need to bounce them off other people, or else it's so easy just to get stuck in your own world.
Yeah. I mean, in my band, I have the benefit of not being the songwriter. They're like, here's the song. I was like, okay, I'll learn the song.
Yeah.
There's a complete piece. But, I mean, we've even as a band, like, we've tweaked songs. So I can definitely happen. But, like, tweaks are okay, but you don't want to overhaul
the
thing, especially if it's already committed to recording.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, damn it. Now what do I do? How would you describe organized frequencies as a complete piece? What are some of the themes and subjects that you tackle in the lyrics?
Oh, wow. I guess with one of the songs that isn't released yet, I wrote when I was 15. I grew up religious. I grew up Christian. But then as I was getting in my teens, that didn't really align with my values and belief system anymore, so just kind of writing about that first heartbreak. Yeah, some of these songs are like old from when I was 18, but first heartbreak, just kind of like, and then just letting people go. Yeah, I guess just letting your past self go.
Yeah, it's a good mix of stuff. And what would you say, like, is there kind of an overall theme to the EP as a whole?
I would say not lyrically, but I would say it's just a nice little snapshot of figuring out my sound in the past 3 years.
Good stuff. What are you hoping fans get out of the EP?
Wow, I just hoping they just like get to know me more. I'm just really excited to be able to share this project that I've been working on forever, and it feels just so authentic, and yeah, I'm just excited for them to hear it and just find out more about me.
For sure. What are your plans to promote the EP's release?
Well, funny you asked. I have a super exciting pre-release listening party at Hipposonic Studios. If you don't know where that is, it's on 7th and Columbia up in Mount Pleasant. The evening's going to feature acoustic performances of the songs, and then you'll be the first to hear it before it's released later in May.
Nice. And kind of on that, I was kind of hoping to save that for later in the show, but
I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah, no, of course. What made you decide to go the listening party route? I know, like, you know, been much bigger artists I'm gonna drop the K-bomb here. Sorry, Travis. Like Kanye is known for like these gigantic listening party events, but
I wish I had a bleep.
Just keep bleep that out.
Oh man, because like a big part of this project for me was just figuring out my sound and figuring out like the production. So I just really wanted an awesome space just for people to just take in the EP, take in this collection of songs, and just focus on just that for like 20 minutes.
And if you can command people's attention for 20 minutes, yeah, you're doing something right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Give me your phones right now. No, I imagine it's going to be great.
Yeah, I am so excited. It's been like, I've waited so long to do this, and I am so excited to have it at Hipposonic. It's like the best place.
Always cool to see events like that in a recording space, because recording spaces are always cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, because that's actually where I recorded my first EP with Winston, and then for a while Nimbus had it as a classroom, so I remember pulling some like all-night sessions in there and trying to figure out projects. So it's like, it's been, that space is super special to me. It's been a part of my musical journey for the past 7 years.
For sure. I guess what we'll do is I'm going to just kind of go through the rest of the questions, and we'll, you okay with like ending with like another
absolutely
acoustic song?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So who makes up your live band, and how do they help bring your music to life?
Oh, so many wonderful humans. I met them all at Nimbus. I have Leah Moose on drums, Eric Gray on keys, Jeff Quinn on electric bass, and Sandy Hughes on guitar.
And what do they bring to the table?
Oh, they're all just exceptional musicians. I met them all at Nimbus. They all like have like production minds as well, and they're just great people to be around. Yeah,
that's great. What do you have? I mean, you know, you got the pre-release party coming up, but what do you have planned for a proper release show?
Well, I have like a show with my full band in coming up during the summer. But yeah, just like releasing content from the EP. But yeah, the EP pre-listening show is the EP show.
The EP show.
Yeah.
Just something a little different. I mean, it's definitely, it's more, a little bit more unique than just like, oh, I'm doing an EP release show at a bar.
Yeah, I really wanted people just to listen, like just enjoy the space. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where am I? Oh, who are some local bands and artists that you'd recommend we bring on the show for a future episode?
Ooh, there is so many. Probably one of my, oh my God, there's some, probably one of my favorite bands that I've been following for the past few years is Blonde Diamond. They used to go as Youngblood.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing.
So good.
Oh. Oh my God, there's some.
We've had them on the show. We'll probably have them on again.
Yeah, you should have them on again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, there's. Sorry, there's like.
That's it, just one.
There's one.
There's only one band in Vancouver.
Oh, but there's so many. Oh my God, there's so many great ones. Sorry, I'm like, my brain is just like going through every single show I've been to the past like month. Oh my God.
Could you even just go with who you saw recently?
Last night. Okay, last night. Incredible country artist, Taylor Ray.
All right.
Taylor Ray and the Backseat Drivers.
Yeah, we haven't had that many. We still only had one?
Only one, two? Like, strict country?
Yeah. It was, because, yeah, we had the Heels. And awesome. Who is country-ish? I'm trying to think of who is country-ish.
I mean, most of the folk bands we have a little bit of country flair. Well, I guess no. We had Coldwater Road.
That's folk.
Folk. We had Andrew Thielen.
He's
not, but he's his almost, old band was like kind of alt country.
Kind of. Well, I think Fallistator kind of.
We haven't had them
up
yet.
No, I know we haven't had them yet. They're coming up.
Give me a break.
I'm trying to preview the future episodes, Travis. Yeah. But yeah, Taylor Ray, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we, yeah, we haven't had that many country artists or hip-hop artists on our show, so we got to kind of balance that going forward. What do you have coming up for the rest of 2019?
Just like keep making music, just keep playing shows. Yeah, just keep building up my empire.
There you go. How can listeners check out your music and keep up with everything Rain?
Well, you can follow me at Rain Music, R-A-E-N-E. You can find my music anywhere, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, anywhere you like to listen to music, it will be there.
All right. So let's close things off with one more song.
Wonderful.
Yeah. What are you going to play?
This one is Heartbreak Melodies. It's going to be released with the EP at the end of May.
All right. This is Heartbreak Melodies by Rain live on Pacific Sound Radio.
I only talk about you when I'm drunk. Just think about you when I'm fucked up. But time's been a remedy, and I'm safe in my sobriety. Ooh, I never got to finish a love song. Now I'm stuck with all these heartbreak memories. These weren't good for that love. I know it fine, I was better off before you. You were better off before.
You're listening to Pacific Sound Radio. That was Heartbreak Melodies live by Rain in the studio. You can check out Rain at her pre-release EP show at Hipsonic Studios on May 18th. Did I get that right? All right. Yeah.
And it's free entry.
Free entry.
Everyone can come in. It's welcome.
There
Everyone's
you go.
Welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
been
thank
a,
you.
Lot of fun.
It's been awesome.
All right. And we're ready, Travis. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson.
And Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jane Fraze. Travis, how can people keep up with what we're doing?
Well, you can check us out on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram, at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter, at Pacific S Radio, YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, as well as our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. We're going to close things off-ish with one more song by Rain. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Yeah, we should have talked about that, but yeah. Yeah, I'll let you pull that up. So we're going to play one more song by Rain. Yes. This is the first single that she's released off her upcoming EP, Organized Frequencies, which will be out next month. This is You Just Let Me Fall.
I don't wanna be fighting anymore.